Welcome to the Youth Talk.
You're listening to Youth Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Network. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the Youth Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby, and today I am joined by none other than Andrew Fox. Unfortunately, if you didn't know, Joseph has his son decided to have to come on our podcast day earlier this week, so it's been tough to get together, and Andrew is luckily filling in. So let's see if we can get Andrew on the line here. Are you there, Andrew?
I am.
All right. Awesome.
Can you hear me?
So to get – yes, you are on, and we're recording, having some technical issues. It also doesn't help that Apple decided to get rid of the headphone jack at this moment, but we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
To give you listeners an idea of what we're going to run through today, we've got – the quick hitters, we'll go over the schedule. We've got to talk about the men's basketball media poll. And then we're going to talk some offense, defense from the Stanford game, even though it's well ran through, and specifically parlay that into what we're looking for in the Arizona game. And, of course, at some point, probably in the quick hitters, we got to talk about officiating in the Pac-12. But before we get into all that, I don't know if you've listened a ton, Andrew, but we've been plugging Youth Daddy in the process here, and I got the notification that we're supposed to be turning off the sprinklers now. So I don't know what your yard assignments are at your place, but if the sprinklers are still running, it's time to shut them off.
Good to know. I will. I'll make sure I can get those shut off.
Nice. So, all right. So let's look at what the Utes having coming up on the docket. The cross country is taking on go at the Penn State National in State College, College. Of course, there's a football game tonight. There's also the red white lacrosse scrimmage is going to be this weekend, as well as, let's hear, we got soccer taking on Oregon State. And then another big matchup for volleyball. Volleyball is taking on number 14 Oregon on the 14th at noon. So if you can, and that will be here at the Huntsman Center. So make sure and support the youth. The other events, more. This is more next week, especially with UEA week or how much time your kids might be taking off. Mine have a few days off, but Night with the Running Utes is coming up on October 17th at 7 p.m. So get to go know a new youth, running youth team with a ton of new freshmen, new talent, which leads me in to the first or the second quick hitter, which is the men's basketball media poll. So in case you were under a rock yesterday, the media poll came out and picked the youth to finish eighth. So, Andrew, what are your thoughts on this? I'll share mine afterwards.
Sure. I mean, I think that's fair, mostly just because it feels like with Utah basketball, you never really know what that team's going to be like. You never know, especially because there's so many – newer faces this year. So it's just, I think it's hard to predict how good they'll be or how, or I guess conversely, how not good they might be because of that. And so I think what you see in these polls, like these preseason polls, is them kind of hedging in a way where, if you're going to be wrong, you vote them too low. And then if they overperform, everyone's happy. So I think it's a fair spot. Like I don't think I could accurately predict where they would fit in this year, especially because one, like I said, with Utah, you never know. And also with the rest of the Pac-12, I honestly just don't know what the rest of the Pac-12 looks like. So, I think that's a fair spot. And I think if nothing else, we're a school that loves to be an underdog. So maybe that helps us.
Yeah, no, so there is some point to the underdog. I think based on Krzyzewski's history in the Pac-12, I think if I were a media member, I would safely feel comfortable. If I didn't know what the youth were going to do, they just throw him in that sixth spot. Like, they're all – I just feel like the youth, for the, you know, outside of those first couple years, they're always in the top half. So why even put them down in that bottom half at all? Sure, there's going to be a lot of new freshmen. I mean, there's a lot of freshmen. I'm going through and counting right now. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 freshmen on the roster, and some of those upperclassmen aren't really going to be playing. They're on that bench, but not really expected to play. So, sure, there's new faces, but just based on the youth's performance historically under Larry Krzyzewski, because there's always been a decent amount of turnover with him, that this team is going to be above an 8th spot in the Pac-12. That's just my feeling.
Right.
It's just, I think it's an easy slot them into the easy half. And if you're worried about putting it too low, are you too high, then throw them in at the 6th spot. But the other thing I think is, like you said, if I'm Larry Krzyzewski and the coaching staff, I'm like, sweet. You know, the media just put us at 8. Our players are going to want to prove them wrong. Our fans are probably going to have lower expectations. So it's going to be a nice season as far as the coach, from a coaching aspect, to be able to, one,
sure,
coach the players up, and two, not expect fans to have too high of expectations. So,
yeah, I think that's fair.
Interesting. So here's the other hot-button topic that was at least all over my Twitter timeline yesterday and took over Larry Scott's press conference for Pac-12 Media Days for basketball is Pac-12 officiating. So what do you think?
What do I think of the officials or of that scandal in particular?
The story in general. I mean, in case so I guess we'll fill in. But it's like officials are – I can't remember who wrote the piece, but Yahoo Sports got a hold of a report saying that a untrained third party overturned a targeting call in the Washington State-USC game. And apparently untrained third parties have been in the Pac-12 booth, review booth, for a while now and potentially influencing other calls. So but that's ultimately what it is, and questioning associated with it took over Scott's press conference at Pac-12 Media Days. But what do you think about all this coming out, and is the Pac-12 ever going to fix its officiating?
It feels like they probably never will at this rate. I don't know. I mean, it's been, like, publicly bad for – I don't know how long, forever, it feels like. It's just, like, Pac-12 officiating has been a joke in the entire college football atmosphere. Just every time there's a, you know, like, isn't there like a couple, like, spoof Twitter accounts, basically, of Pac-12 guests, too? So, I mean, it's been a joke for a long time, and I don't understand how it hasn't been fixed. And so I'm convinced that they're never going to fix it. The interesting thing about that story, I thought, is, you know, what we don't know is whether this guy was just some dude who wanted to weigh in or whether he is actively trying to influence games, because I commented on this and a couple of people responded as well that if they were rigging that game, they rigged it in a way that I did not expect, because the call that he overturned benefited Wazoo instead of USC, and you would think USC would be the beneficiary. So that was kind of shocking. I don't know
I don't know that there's a grand conspiracy. I'm with you there. But, they overturned the targeting call. It was on the specific call that the story is all about is a Wazoo player hits the kneeling JT Daniels and no targeting called and then reversed. But however, I think it could have had impact later in the game when Gustin clearly targeted, good grief, I'm blanking on how to pronounce his name, but Washington State quarterback clearly targeted him. It was as clear today. And I'm wondering if the refs kept their flags in after a clear targeting got reviewed, and so the refs on the field didn't call it based on the review earlier, and then the booth never took over after that. And so I'm wondering if, even though it may have not directly impacted the game from a score standpoint, because it would have been against Washington State, I think it impacted the officials later. And so in that Gustin targeting had a direct impact on the game. So that's where I feel like maybe it did cause issues. Whether it's a conspiracy to make sure USC won that game, that I don't know that I can be, that can be argued, but I do think it impacted at least that one target call.
Yeah, I think, and that's possible. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it like that. I mean, it definitely would make, you know, a referee think twice, I guess, in regards to whether he's going to throw a flag on a penalty, just because of how that previous review went. But there's a ton of people out there who are thinking, you know, this is a huge conspiracy, and I don't know if I'd go that far. I just think it's a system that is dysfunctional. The Utah, what game was it? The Utah Washington game. Like, there's just all kinds of reviews. It slows the game down, and obviously, you know, based on what we just learned in that story, the review system isn't really working anyway. So I think that's the bigger issue, is what we're finding out is that, you know, this review system actually isn't very good, and is, whether it's favoring teams over another, I don't know, but it's definitely making the product worse. You know, it's making games harder to watch. It's making games longer. When these refs just can't get it right on the field and they have to review every single call. And that Utah-Washington game felt like there was 10 reviews. It was insane. So I think that's the real issue here is, yeah, it was awful. I think that's the real problem, is they have a bad product and they're ruining their own product, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, so the other part of the story is that Scott announced that they're changing their review process, and it will take effect for tonight's game. So supposedly no more untrained third parties in the review booth. So we'll see if that truly has the positive impact we could hope for. But you're right. I mean, they were reviewing the Washington game. Half the frustration was the poor targeting calls, which we don't need to get into. But the other frustration is, like, the game took forever because it was constantly reviewing one play after another. So, yeah, that's totally ruining a product when you've got other sports that are trying to speed up things. The NBA is trying to speed up the last part of the game. Baseball's got a constant problem trying to speed up their game. And here's with you in football slowing down their game. So, I don't know. Needless to say, it's supposedly changes are taking effect for tonight's game against Arizona. So hopefully we'll see the benefits of that, and that there won't be some untrained third party making a bad call, but we'll see. Nonetheless.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think this game will have some reviews too, just because I feel like anytime you have a mobile running quarterback, like, there's going to be some hits that are going to be questionable, and we're probably going to see a few reviews. So we will see how that goes.
Yeah. Speaking of that, well, let's blend Stanford review and Arizona preview into the same here. So it's last week the Utes were playing Stanford, who the Utes crushed their run game, and they were one dimensional start early. And so there was a lot of passing yards, where Arizona, with an injured Khalil Tate, is probably going to be trying to pass a little bit more than, well, probably more than you would expect an Arizona team, but maybe not as more as you would expect for this year's Arizona team. It seems since the beginning of the season, Arizona has decided that Khalil Tate doesn't need to run that much. And then he does have an ankle injury, which has been slowing him down. He's not as explosive as he has been, and that's according to Arizona beat writers and whatnot that I've been researching. And so he's not as explosive and is wanting to prove he can be an NFL quality passer. And here's, we played Stanford, who we eliminated their run game too in the passing defense. So I guess my question is, what are your thoughts is the pass defense an issue based on the Stanford game, and will it be an issue against potentially against Arizona tonight?
I think the big thing that helps Stanford is what's that tight end's name that they have? Oh my gosh, I just blanked on his name, but their receivers are huge. Like they are all big, athletic targets, and I don't know how big Arizona's receivers are, but I think that presented a big problem, especially for Blackman, who was just I feel like they were purposely throwing it right at him and just saying, hey, catch it over the top of him because he's not going to stop you.
Yeah.
So that's worrisome in that sense, but I think Stanford's really the only game I can remember where it felt like the opponent could throw the ball at will. Wazoo a little bit, but that's, you know, it's Wazoo. Like, you're never going to slow those guys down. So I'm actually not too worried. Like, if Utah wins the game, if Arizona relies on throwing the ball, I think our secondary is really good. We showed against Stanford that, you know, we can get good pressure, and we can trust our corners to do some press man coverage. And depending on, I don't think athleticism is going to be as much as an issue, but if, you know, if Arizona's got a couple 6'5" receivers, that might be an issue. But other than that, I'm really not too worried about the passing game. It seems like Arizona's MO for beating Utah has always been running the ball anyway. So I hope that they throw the ball, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think that's ultimately kind of the thing. It's like Arizona typically hurt Utah with a running quarterback and a good run game. And they have that running quarterback who's slowed down by an ankle injury and hasn't been very, forceful in trying to run the ball this year. So that is a positive. And not to bash the team down south, but if their corners can guard Arizona's wide receivers, I fully expect Jalen Johnson and Blackman to be able to do it. I mean, the other thing I think that maybe some people are missing based on my Twitter feed and interactions with Utah fans is that people are asking why Blackman's getting targeted a lot, and I think people are forgetting how good Jalen Johnson is. And no one wants to throw at him, and I think a 100-yard pick six is great proof as to why no one wants to throw at him. And Blackman is a little bit smaller. And like you said, when you've got Andre the Giant at both wide receivers and your tight end positions, you just throw it right over them. And so, of course, Blackman's going to have a trouble defending that. But the other thing to kind of – because I think a lot of people were upset, you know, Wazoo, sure, they're going to throw the ball a lot, but wow, and then Stanford can throw at ease. Whittingham in his coach's show pointed out that they don't – it's not yards that they look at. It's the pass efficiency defense. And just to give you guys some defensive stats on where the Utes rank in the Pac-12, on rush yards, they're number one. On pass yards, they're number six. On pass efficiency, which is what Whittingham cares about, according to his own words, they're number one. In total defense, they're number one. In scoring defense, they're number two. So, like, this defense is – rock solid, elite level in my mind. Like, if you're dominating the Pac-12 in defense, like, that says something, because Washington's got a good defense, Stanford's got a good defense. Like, it's not like they're the Pac-12 sucks all around. So, like, this is a really good defense, and they should, you know, if Khalil Cates not running like crazy, which he, according to all the other games, he's not going to be, this defense should have a field day.
Yeah, and I expect them to. I think they're going to play really well. I think, you know, kind of like I was saying earlier, like if Arizona decides, hey, we're going to be a throwing team now, I mean, that's a win for Utah, basically. Like, I would love to see Khalil – I had it pulled up here. I would love to see Khalil Tate throw the ball, you know, 30 times like he did against BYU. I think that's a recipe to beat Arizona every time. I'm just looking at his numbers here, and it's great. Like, he has a whole lot of passing yards for the season, which surprised me. Then I went and looked, and the only good games he's had throwing were against Houston and Southern Utah. So I don't know. I feel like every time I talk about games like this, I'm like, I don't see a way Utah loses this one, and then they find a way to lose. But I think Utah's defense is way too good. I know, yeah. I just think Utah's defense is way too good. And that there's just I don't see Arizona's weapons as being anything to worry about.
Yeah, and their offense in general, like their rushing offense is still good. It's still top three in the Pac-12.
Right.
But, you know, their passing offense is bottom half. Total offense is fifth. Like, it's just there. I just don't see the defense shouldn't struggle. What is interesting is that, so from what I was reading, people were really applauding the Arizona defense in last week's win. And then it made me think, because unfortunately our offense, if there's such thing as a roller coaster season, that's our offense right now. And I wonder if our offense will be able to score enough. I don't fear our defense is going to drop the ball. It's whether the offense is going to have it or not. So what do you think?
Well, I think lucky for Utah in this game, particularly if Arizona's offense is not as good as I think they are, I don't think they'll have to score too much to win. I mean, Arizona, let's see, they scored 28 and then they put up 60 on Southern Utah. But other than that, their high score in conference play is 35. So I don't think we'll have to score a whole lot. And that 35 came against Oregon State, who is not very good, obviously. So I don't think the offense needs to be, you know, lights out. We don't need to see the offense that played Stanford to win the game. I think we can come out, control the clock a little bit, and just play our usual slow physical run game offense, put up 27 points, and come out with a win. So I'm not too concerned about, you know, the offense being explosive like they were against Stanford. I think an average offense wins this game.
Okay. Well, I mean, so everyone knows Joseph loves his numbers. He's a stat guy. He does it all the time, and he always has great numbers for us. But I will say this, and he tweeted this out, let's see here, a couple days ago, looking at win percentage in his models, and right now, the Utes should be winning this game, and his model has the Utes still have a shot at getting as high as 10-2. Oh, wait, that doesn't make sense. But 9-3. Is a 39% chance of going 9-3 this season. That's a win against Arizona. But how do you feel about that? If the Utes come out 9-3, 8-4, is that a season? Is that a successful season or not?
9-3, I think, would be a successful season, especially with the way everything started. You know, I think your expectations have to be kind of fluid as the season goes. Because before we even kicked off, you know, everyone was kind of anointing Utah the Pac-12 South champ, and I bought in on that too pretty hard. And so, I mean, obviously they still can. They don't control their own destiny, but they can still win the South. But if they finish the season 9-3, I'd be very happy with that. 8-4, maybe not as much. I guess it depends on who those losses are to and how they look in those losses. Things like that matter as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't think any fan of any team except Alabama and Georgia could be mad at a 9-3 season.
I agree. I think if 9-3 is what his model's spitting out as the most likely outcome, that's a really good season. And seeing that 10-2 option at 23% is the fact that it's a possibility with that high of a probability is making me a little excited as well. So, you know, maybe the youth, I think, you know, based on this, the Utes are in the Pac-12 title game if they do go 9-3, and definitely if they go 10-2. So there's still, look, in our podcast from the beginning of the season, we have been spewing Kool-Aid, and it looks like there's still reason to drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I think so. Especially, you know, I mean, it's easy to overreact. I think we all kind of, most fans kind of had a big overcorrection, I guess, to the Wazoo game, just because I think we kind of felt, especially after the first half, it was like, oh man, we're going to win this game. And obviously it didn't shake out that way, but I think you know, like I said, that your expectations have to be kind of fluid in that way. And I can't remember what your question was. What was the question again?
I don't remember either. I was just listening.
Oh, no. Point is, you know, if you go 9-3, the fact that we're still not necessarily in the driver's seat, but the fact that if we win out, especially, I mean, I assume Colorado's not going to win out. And obviously us winning out means Colorado doesn't win out. But if we do, the fact that we could still win the South with how crazy these first five games have been is pretty great. And so, yeah, I think there's still reason. I remember the question now. I think there is still reason to kind of drink that Kool-Aid, just because they may not necessarily be in the driver's seat, but they're sitting right next to it. So, I think there's still reason to be excited. If they lay a huge egg tonight, then, yeah, obviously things are going to change. But I think a win tonight would be huge. And even if it's ugly, just getting that win and building some momentum, because I think that would be – let me check – yeah, that would be our – I can't remember the last time Utah had back-to-back conference wins. But, I mean, that would be that'd be a huge momentum.
Look up that.
Yeah, so
well,
I think
and I mean,
if you can do that, if you
– go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I was just trying to find if I could find the last – oh, let's see. Yeah, they didn't have back-to-back conference wins last year either. So, I mean, I think if you can get, you know, I don't know if I would call two games a streak, but if you can get a two-game conference win streak going, like, you got to feel pretty good about that. So, you build momentum
well,
for the USC
going
game.
In, exactly. Build the momentum for the USC game. I mean, because, look, the next couple games, it's Arizona, USC, UCLA, right? And then Arizona State, like the youth should be, they will most likely be favored. I would expect them to, they beat Arizona. They're probably favored against SC next week here in Rice-Eccles. Then they're going on the road against UCLA. They better be favored against UCLA. They suck this year.
Yeah, I think
and then they're going on the road again against Arizona State, which, I really don't know what my feel for Arizona State is, but I would expect that the Utes are going to – that's either going to be even, if not Utah favored again. So it's like if they can get past Arizona, next you know they put the streak together, and next you know they're going into, you know, the 10th of November is my feel. They will have not lost a game, and they're playing at home against Oregon on the 10th of November. And, like, that's the next critical game they have. They're all critical, but like that's where the next big matchup is against Oregon, in my opinion. So, but if they can start this, knock down this first domino, I bet the next few are going to follow. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
and,
I agree. That's what's kind of weird about sports, I guess, is like how much momentum does matter. So yeah, I mean, especially if Utah comes out and plays an efficient or, you know, above average game offensively, you got to feel really good going into the USC game.
Totally, because I'm looking at the standings right now. You got SC is up a game. Arizona's up a game right now. That's about to change, right, tonight. And then you got Colorado hasn't played anybody. So I'm not concerned. Like, I'm just not concerned about Colorado. So I suspect all three teams in front of Utah are either going to be tied with Utah or below Utah after the next couple weeks. You know, they win this week, Arizona's tied with them head-to-head, Utah's above. You know, USC, if they beat USC, all of a sudden they're above USC, above Arizona, and then it's just a matter of what Colorado does. And like I said, I just don't feel Colorado's going to be doing anything amazing the rest of the Pac-12 season.
Yeah, isn't their, like, combined opponent record pretty bad? Yeah, because Nebraska turned out to not be very good, right?
Yeah, Nebraska's been horrible. I mean, I don't even know if they've won a game yet. But let's hear. So their win. Let's hear. So they
they haven't won.
They beat Colorado State. They crushed them. They beat Nebraska. They beat New Hampshire. So take that for what it's worth. They beat UCLA and Arizona State are their two conference wins. I'm not seeing a lot of strength of schedule there. They're playing USC tomorrow, and then I think, and then if they don't, if they beat USC, great, but then the next week they're playing Washington. There's no way they're winning that game. Then Oregon State, they might win that game. So let's just assume, like, they're, I don't know what their favorite is or whatnot. I don't have that right in front of me for USC, but they beat USC. I just don't, there's no way I see them winning against Washington. Then they play Oregon State. I expect them to win. Arizona, don't know. Washington State, I would actually expect Washington State to beat Colorado. And then the Utes are going to beat them, right? And then they play Cal, and Cal's decent enough. They should at least give them a game. So there's a few, I mean, maybe Colorado can do it. Maybe I'm backtracking a little bit. But they really, they have not played anyone. I'm sorry. Colorado State, New Hampshire, UCLA, Nebraska do not count as big wins. So it's a matter of when they start losing.
Yeah, and it looks like USC is favored by 7. So I'm thinking that is going to be a USC win. This will be a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like a good measuring stick for how good Colorado is. So this is a game, you know, obviously Utah fans, Pac-12 fans, you're going to want to watch this one because it's going to be a nice indicator of how good Colorado is. USC, I didn't think they looked very good at the start of the year, but man, that Wazoo game was crazy, and then they beat Arizona. Both games were really close, but I mean, I think they're trending in the right direction too. So I'm really interested to see how that Colorado USC game goes.
Yeah, and it's USC. I mean, they have the playmakers. It's just a matter of whether they do it or not, right? I mean, the Washington State game is probably the most I've watched of them, and like some of the speed from guys, if you just get the ball in their hands, you're in trouble. And so I can totally see, like, I think you're totally right. That Colorado game is much more interesting now that we talked about it more. I'm probably going to be tuning in on Saturday to that one, as long as I'm not working. So, I don't know. Any more? Anything else you want to talk about in regards to the Utes or Pac-12 football?
I think that's all I got in my head for now. I just hope the refs don't screw this game up for us.
let's put on our Dalai Lama third party shirts and go help them make the right calls.
Yes, I'm all for it.
Then final thing, prediction and score. That's what we got. And we'll start with you.
Oh, man.
So what do you got for tonight?
I think it's going to be a nice low scoring game. How much do I think Arizona is going to score though? That's the only question. Let's see. I'm thinking 30 to – oh, no, that's a dumb score. Let's say 28-21, something like that.
28-21, I'm assuming Utah.
Yeah.
Is what you had there. So
what's the spread?
Man,
Utah's favored by 14? Holy cow.
Yeah, 2-touchdown favorite, yeah. So I think – I like your 21 prediction – I think I'm going to go 21-35 for some reason is the number that popped in my head. So I'll go with that.
You're going for the push on the spread?
Yeah, Utes the cover. Who knows? My brain's fried on it for today in math. That's what I do for a living, Andrew. And I use
Touch.
Yeah,
I want to fix that.
But yeah, nonetheless, we both got Utah winning pretty handedly. Hopefully that's what plays out and you can, you know, hopefully prove Joseph's model right, which it typically does. His model's pretty accurate. So I'm hoping for this 9-3 season that he's got, and we'll all be very happy fans when the Utes go to the Pac-12 title game to get revenge against Washington. So drink the Kool-Aid.
Would you travel if they do?
If they go to the Pac-12 title game?
Yeah, would you go?
I would totally consider going. If they go, like, so if they win the Pac-12 title game, well, so if they go, does that, and then let's say Washington gets in the playoff, does that mean the Utes are the, I'm not the bowl expert here, but does that mean that the Utes are in the Rose Bowl? Now that, I've always said that their first Rose Bowl I'm traveling to, so.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. I think so. Here's another question for you, though. Is this the game that Demaryi Simpkins finally goes over 100 yards on the season? He's at 92 right now.
Will he go over 100? Yes.
So he needs eight more yards.
Easily. So here's the thing. So since we're backtracking to talk about wide receivers here.
Sure.
I think the last game against Stanford, it's like, I don't know. I always compare things to basketball because that's what I'm more comfortable with. When you're a shooter and you're shooting basketball and you're missing a bunch, all you need to do is see that one go in, and then you're fine, typically. And then you're hitting your shots and things are golden again. I feel like the wide receivers had that moment last week. There are a lot of good catches. You have the Nacua touchdown pass. Simpkins made a couple passes, catches. I mean, everyone seemed to be catching the ball last week. So I feel like they may have, you know, seen the proverbial ball go through the hoop, and now from here on out, I think the wide receiver core will be a little bit more solid, less drops, which means your hopes of an average to slightly above average offense, based on my analysis, have gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, yes, Demaryi will get over 100 yards on the season, and I would expect even more than that. But
yeah, I do too.
Yeah, it should be a fun game to watch nonetheless. Running quarterbacks always make me nervous, but this, I mean, according to interviews that I've seen, Mr. Scally would prefer to play against average passing running quarterbacks. So if that's what he wants to do, here's his night. He gets that, and the Utes should win. I will look forward to the Twitter meltdown if they're down by a field goal at the end of the first quarter.
Awesome.
Twitter always seems to perform well in those cases, as far as melting down, that is. So,
always
very
reasonable.
Well, that's the definition of reasonable, huh? Okay.
Yep.
Go with that. All right, well, I will let you get back to your day. Thanks for jumping on. Hopefully next week we can get Joseph off of paternity leave and out of the FMLA. I'm saving his co-host position, so we're good there. And we can get some more numbers to back up all my crazy analysis. But thanks for joining
me,
Andrew.
Perfect. I can't wait. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. All right. Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast or email at utetalk@gmail.com.